I think one of the most difficult parts for us to pray along with the Lord's Prayer is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I hope that you'll pray it with me as I sing it tonight.
Now let's bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that the one who directed his disciples to pray in this way, he could say, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise them up again at the last day. We thank you that from our hearts we can say, I bow me to thy will, O God, and all thy ways adore. For ill that God blesses is our good, and unblessed good is ill, and all is right that seems most wrong, if it be his sweet will. And we pray in a special way for this brother in Chicago, Mr. Jordan. We ask you to graciously get under that burden and accomplish thy purposes and give peace to each one. We wait upon thee. And for those of us who are here, give us a grasp of thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I invite you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we want to begin our reading at verse 3. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. I lost my notes. Oh, I need them. I need them very badly. I need them more than you can imagine. Isn't it awful? Okay. I can quote the scriptures, but I like to follow notes. And I find that in following notes, I curb myself and I can stay by the clock better. So all of you enjoy when I have notes as well. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Where we read these great words, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. I trust you've read Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. If you never have read it, shame on you. It is a very good book. In Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian first set out on his journey to the celestial city from the city of destruction, two of his former neighbors, pliable and obstinate, they hurried after him, hoping to stop him from his harebrained idea. And they wanted to return him to the city of destruction. Obstinate objected to Christian, you remember. He said, What are these things which you seek, and for which you find you want to forsake everything? And then Christian answers and he says, I seek an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for those who diligently seek it. And then he said, See here, read it right in the book. And he handed him his Bible. Now, Christian's homely evangelism divided the two men. Obstinate returned home, had nothing to do with it. But pliable, he went along with Christian for a while, but when he got to the hill difficulty, he left as well. And in the end, both of these men went back in disgust. Now, the scripture that Christian used is found in our text. Peter wrote it, and Peter's a fisherman. And he's writing to believers who were scattered throughout the region of Asia Minor. And when if you look at Peter, and you look at the people to whom he wrote, you would never think that they owned anything. And yet Peter said, we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that doesn't fade away. It's reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You'd never think that they owned anything. You see, the story's told of a man by the name of W.T. Stead, who heard of the great financial crash, and he hurried into the city to see if he could write on the crash of 29. And in finding various ones in the city, he heard the most pitiful stories of people who lost everything, every penny of their earnings, every penny of their savings in the great crash of 29. And after he heard all those pitiful stories, he saw on the street corner the Salvation Army having a street meeting. And there in the center of the gathering was a girl in the Salvation Army uniform, waving her hands and singing with a shining face. I'm the heir to the kingdom above, a kingdom of light and of love. I'm richer by far than the Kaiser or Tsar. I'm heir to the kingdom above. For you see, she had something that doesn't fade away. In our text, Peter says we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Where did Peter learn this glorious truth? Well, you'll find that Peter learned this glorious truth from his master. And the master taught this in Matthew chapter 6. And I invite you to turn to Matthew 6 for a moment. That great portion that is called the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6. And we want to read a few verses that my wife said were my favorite texts when we were newly married. And for a lot of years in our earthly pilgrimage together. Our Lord in Matthew 6 verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure tonight? Is it in a bank vault? Or is it incorruptible and undefiled that doesn't fade away? Our Lord here in this Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Our Lord stresses three treasures. He stresses the treasures of the court. He stresses the treasures of the camp. And he stresses the treasures of the counting house. The treasures of the court, moth can corrupt them. The treasures of the camp, rust can defile them. And the treasures of the counting house, thieves can steal them. I remember when Mr. Vic Duncan died, was at his funeral, and a dear brother that I'm not going to mention his name, he came up to me, and he was really heavy-hearted. He said, the thieves broke into my home when I was at church one Sunday night, and they stole over $250,000. Well, I said, you didn't listen to the Lord, or they wouldn't have done it. He looked at me and said, the Lord said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where thieves break through and steal. And you had it where thieves broke through and stole. I said, had you invested that in the work of the Lord, you'd still have it. And you'd have it with interest, compounded, shaken down, and running over. Peter says, we have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Peter must have listened with keen interest that day when our Lord spoke on the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, when he wrote to the scattered believers, he spoke of an inheritance that is incorruptible, because no moth can corrupt it. It is undefilable, because no rust can defile it. And he spoke of an inheritance that is inalienable, because no thieves can ever steal it. He says our inheritance is incorruptible. In other words, to be incorruptible means it is not capable of ever developing a flaw. Two times that this word is used in a special way. It is used, first of all, concerning that deathless body that we're going to be given at the return of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be raised in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." In other words, in that resurrected body, there's not going to be a microscopic particle of corruption left. We're talking about the glorified bodies of believers that we're going to have in that day when our Lord returns. Incorruptible. But then in Peter speaks of being incorruptible too in 1 Peter 1:23. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Here we learn that when we were born of God in that divine structure, it is incorruptible. And you cannot corrupt that which is incorruptible. In other words, here is a divine structure. That new nature which we received when we were born of God. For it is birth that determines nature. In my favorite illustration of the new birth, why is a dog a dog? A dog is a dog because it was born a dog. It may wish to be a cat. It can try to meow like a cat. It can even try to climb a tree like a cat, but it will never be able to because it's a dog. And why is it a dog and not a cat? It is a dog because it was born a dog. And the Word of God declares that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It will never be anything but the flesh. You can dress it up. You can pamper it. You can say nice things about it. You may kiss it, but it's still the flesh. And it will never be anything else. And apart from the divine nature which comes from the new birth, man is totally corruptible. But that new divine nature, the result of a new and a holy birth, is incorruptible. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. That's how I was born the first time. But of incorruptible, by the word of God, and that lives and abides forever. So you'll notice, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. In regeneration, that day we were born of God, we received a new and a divine life. There are some who call it a new heart. And in the resurrection, we're going to have a new and a resurrection body, and both are incorruptible. To an inheritance, Peter says, that is incorruptible. But then notice, not only is the inheritance incorruptible, it is indefilable. Now the Greek word from which that comes, amantos, it has the same root as that precious stone, amiantum. And that precious stone, nothing unclean can adhere to it. It's an amazing thing. This inheritance is indefallible. And when we think of an indefallible inheritance, I like to think of our blessed Lord who told the people in his day, the prince of this world cometh. but he findeth nothing in me. Beloved, when the prince of this world comes now, he can find a lot in us, in our flesh, to attract him. But there's a day coming when we're going to be like our blessed Lord himself. And if the prince of this world comes, there is nothing in us in that day that he can ever find that he can use to defile us. To an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled. But the inheritance is also one that doesn't fade away. It is unwithering. Our inheritance, as to its substance, is stainless. It is untarnishable. It is undefilable. And so Peter tells us, because we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. It will never wither. It will never fade away in its beauty. It fades not away. Now that brings us to the fullness of the divine record. When our Lord uttered those words on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, when he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Our Lord spoke of three things. Moth corrupt garments. And garments in Scripture speak of a righteous standing before God. A righteousness. And our righteousness can be marred by moth. Garments. Rust corrupts our tools. Thieves steal our possessions. And our Lord says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. These are three things that will always take over. Now, Peter was not alone when he heard our Lord speak on the Sermon on the Mount. You see, the Apostle John was there along with many others. Peter echoed the words in the utterance of our Lord in such stately prose here in 1 Peter 1. But John, amidst the dazzling glory of the book of the Revelation, he wove it into gorgeous poetry. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I just want you to read a few verses with me there. From Revelation 21. Verse 10. We should begin at the beginning, but I'm just going to begin at verse 10. Here he's describing the New Jerusalem, which in Revelation is described, and it's also mentioned in Isaiah chapter 65 and 66. In the prophecy of Isaiah, the New Jerusalem is linked with the millennial reign of Christ and also with eternity. What an interesting thing it is. Verse 10, he says, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth, And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And then verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was a one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. You see, John here spoke of walls of jasper, a street of gold, gates of pearl. Robes, when our Lord spoke of it, robes, said Jesus, that no moth can corrupt. Swords, said Jesus, that no rust can defile. Wealth, said Jesus, that no thief can steal. An inheritance, said Peter, that is incorruptible, unsoiled, undefilable, inalienable, and inviolable. That's what Peter said. When you go to John, John says walls that have in their composition no germ of ever crumbling away. Walls of jasper. Streets, he said, not like the grandest streets of planet Earth, but streets of pure gold. You see, if you have gold in your eyes, it can make a Demas out of you. Demas hath departed, having loved this present world. If you have gold in your heart, it can make a Judas out of you. But in the New Jerusalem, where is the gold? It's under your feet. You'll walk on it. That's the place for it. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where thieves break through and steal. Walls of jasper, streets of gold, gates are of immaculate purity. Each gate is a pearl. No thieves can storm them. They are made of pearl. You see, friends, there are two main forces at work in the world. Might and right. Now, you got to get these two. There are two main forces in the world, might and right. You and I are heirs to both of them. Don't miss it. We're heirs to both. A right to the city. You see, by right, it's an inheritance. And to whom do you leave your inheritance? You leave it to your heirs, and we are born to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us. It's mine by right. I was born to it. That new birth has brought me into the right, to that inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and will not fade away. It's mine by right. But then Peter said, we were begotten unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. That's might. That's might. It's not only mine by right. It is mine by might. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, with a salvation army, lassie, we can sing. I'm an heir to the kingdom above, a kingdom of light and of love. I'm richer by far than either Kaiser or Czar. I'm an heir to the kingdom above. Beloved, the Kaisers are gone. The czars are gone, but the inheritance remains. It remains for those who are born to receive it. It is that new birth. Everything that we have in the Christian life is linked to the new birth. Unless God has made us alive in Christ, we have nothing. But alive in Christ, we have everything. Everything in this life that is necessary. For the Lord himself said, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And the simple lifestyle that the Sermon on the Mount presents to the children of God, if we're doing the will of God, as our brother prayed tonight in his song, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That simple lifestyle will lead us into a simple appreciation and appropriation of the power of God and will enable us to live without worry. Our Lord said, don't worry over what you're going to wear. Don't worry over what you're going to eat. And don't worry over where you're going to live. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And when we put it down to simple basics, our Lord knows all about us. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you see, that must begin in our lives. Now, it's a sad thing for the child of God to go through 1 Peter chapter 1 and to realize that this is a future to which I'm being brought and not to enjoy it right now in the simple lifestyle that God has ordered for his children while we await that day when we'll be raised incorruptible and we'll be changed and we'll inherit all that God has provided for us in Christ Jesus. For indeed, I'm richer by far than a Kaiser or a Czar. I'm an heir to the kingdom above. Beloved, are we living that way? Or are we grasping for what this world has to offer? I've laid hold of this message for this reason. We are living in an age today when the pressures of the world and the pressures of business are sapping the vitality from the saints of God. And they are sapping the vitality of the saints of God because God's children have not determined their priorities. They have not determined to take hold of what our Lord says in simple language in the Sermon on the Mount. And yet with the gospel that we proclaim in the commission that he gave unto us, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And our Lord, time and again in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, but I say unto you, but I say unto you, but I say unto you. The simplicity of the lifestyle of the child of God. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The man I told you about in the beginning, he was brokenhearted. because his treasure was taken. A treasure that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, can never be touched by rust, or by moth, or by thieves. Let's lay hold of that. To lay hold of it, first of all, it comes with a new birth. And it flows from the new birth. And unless God gives us a new heart that we can really listen to Him and take what He says at face value and stand on it, until then, we really are not ready for what Peter says. You see, it comes by being begotten unto a living hope. Here's one of the ways we can know that we're truly born of God. That living hope to which we have been begotten by virtue of the new birth, it gives me that desire that His will is accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. And if it's going to be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven, where must it begin? So if it doesn't begin with me, it will not begin with anybody else. And every child of God must take that position. Lord, it must begin with me. I'm heir to the kingdom above. A kingdom of light and of love. I'm richer by far than Kaiser or Tsar. Did you ever see the mansions of the Tsars, pictures of them? Oh, friends, to be able to sing, I'm richer by far than the Kaiser or Tsar, I'm heir to the kingdom above. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Is it yours? Can you, with a settled heart, rejoice before God? See, in Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's chapter 10 or either chapter 12, where the writer to the Hebrews calls to those persecuted, downtrodden believers of the first century, and he says to them, but call to remembrance the former days after which you were enlightened. In those days when you first were saved, how you suffered a great fight of affliction, partly while you were made a gazing stock. Nobody likes to be made a gazing stock. Boy, we try to avoid that. To be a gazing stock. Partly while you were made a gazing stock. And then also, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing that in heaven you have a greater and enduring substance. An inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away. My friend, is it yours? It comes with a new birth. We can spend all our time, most of it, missing the best if we don't pay attention to the words of the Lord. Where is your treasure? Now let's pray together. Our loving Father, we thank You for divine grace which has brought us into fellowship with Yourself. And we thank You for the words of our text tonight. Oh, if we only knew how rich we were through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask You, O God, to deliver us from this present evil world. For to this end Christ gave Himself, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, this present evil age, and this deliverance is in accordance with the will of God and our Father. So in order that we might do Thy will on earth as it is done in heaven, give us, O God, spiritual eyes to behold and a spiritual heart to do. For Jesus' sake, amen.